In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe this is the 8th matinal gospel of St. John that I want to talk about today because we're going to read it in a few minutes in matins. And there are things in this gospel that are important theological details, but to be honest with you, I don't always remember them. I have to read them from the fathers, and then they sort of go away because I'm not a theologian. But when I read this gospel, my heart feels warm. It feels comforted. St. John's gospel especially does that for me. And the resurrectional gospels do that for the Christian who hears them again and again every Sunday, reading them or hearing them in the church. It's why they're read so much. Remember the theme of Pascha. I've told you about this before. The theme of the Paschal readings and the Paschal period is about enlightenment, because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, bringing us light, and the Holy Spirit would be coming, of course, 50 days from Pascha to complete the work, or to complete the beginning of the work, really, for us, right? But for the enlightenment of man occurs slowly over time, and it occurs during times of great stress and great pain. And we see a time of that, a great stress and pain in Mary. I always seem to put myself sort of in her shoes and wonder how would I have felt. She'd been with the Lord for 3 years. He'd taken 7 demons out of her. She loved him dearly. He was everything to her, and then he's gone. He was brutalized, jeered at, crucified, and thrown into a sepulcher without even proper preparation. And so she's weeping at the sepulcher. Now, I'll leave it to people that are better at figuring things out than I am, that how many trips St. Mary Magdalene made to the tomb. It's kind of interesting to look into it, but it's not critical to understand. I think it's pretty clear from the gospel she made more than one trip, maybe upwards of 3 or even 4. But she was standing at the sepulcher, and the sepulcher's open, but the Lord's not there. She's weeping. She sees 2 angels, and they ask her, "Why are you weeping?" That's not an unimportant question. That's something, a question that you need to answer. Why do you weep? Why should we weep? People weep for all kinds of things. Most people weep for things that are inconsequential and unimportant. They weep when their pride is hurt, or when they don't get what they want, or when they're dissatisfied with their life. But Mary was weeping because her Lord was gone, and as far as she knew, he was dead. She was weeping because the life that he had promised to her, it appeared that perhaps it was over. But she was still at the tomb. Not a very sensible place to be for somebody who thinks, who has given up. So she hadn't given up, but she was confused. She saw 2 angels, and yet she didn't recognize them as angels. She says she's weeping because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they laid him. Now, when I read things like this, I guess it's the Irish in me, the poet in me. I always see this as metaphorical, as applying to each one of us. There's always things that have been taken away from us, and we don't know where they are. There's always things that we don't understand, things in life that confuse us. Mary was very confused, and we've been confused too. Perhaps we're even confused right now. Perhaps there's something very confusing and difficult in our life that we just can't figure out. That's what I take out of this statement of Mary. They took away my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him. She's confused, but she wasn't going to leave. She had to stay. And so we as Christians, we must stay with the Lord. And then everything will become apparent and all will be well. She says this saying, and then the angels evidently disappear, or some of the fathers comment that the angels looked and they saw the Lord. And so she saw their eyes and she turned around and saw him. And he said, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She didn't recognize him. Why in the world didn't she recognize him? We see icons of the resurrected Christ. He doesn't look different than when he was walking the earth. I mean, he still has the same facial features, the same height, the same general look. Why didn't she recognize him? I think for the same reason that the apostles Luke and Cleopas didn't recognize our Lord on the way to Emmaus. Grief can do really strange things to a person. Grief can make you mad. I don't mean mad angry. I mean mad crazy. I mean confused. But with God helping you, you get through that confusion. And Mary got through it because she answered him sort of something kind of inane and nonsensical, like, "I'm afraid the gardener took him away, and if you're the gardener, you know, will you tell me where he is?" That made no sense at all. I mean, there were guards that were guarding. What gardener would come and take away the body? So it was just grief speaking. It was just confusion speaking. But then how did Mary come to know it was the Lord? He said one thing, an amazing thing. He just said, "Mary," her name. I'm sure he looked her in the eye when he did it. And all that pain, all that confusion vanished. Because the Lord was before her. She didn't know how. She didn't know when. Nothing of that mattered. But he was there. She said, "Rabboni," or "Master." Now there were still confusion in her. She wanted to grab his feet and wanted to hold on to him. Sort of like Peter when they were on the mountain, Jesus and he and the two other disciples. And he said, "Let's build three tabernacles." Some of the fathers say, well, he wanted to stay there. Well, when God gives you grace, you can't just stay there. God gives you grace in order for you to grow and for you to give to others of that grace, for you to become more like God. Well, what does God do? He gives of himself. So Mary was strengthened by the Lord being in her presence, but she couldn't have it that way all the time. That's why he said, "Cease touching me," because she was touching him in a way that was not proper, in a way that was wanting to have things a certain way that they couldn't be. There's much that's very mystical and beautiful in this gospel, and may God help us to understand it. It only happens over time. I guess what I gather from it the most is there's a lot of confusion in our life. I know I've got it. And I know because you guys are human, you have it too. And there's sadness, and there's grief, and there's stuff we just don't understand. But God will make everything apparent and everything right. And he will also say to us our name, Seraphim. And I'm not alone then. I'll tell you, because of my sins, a lot of times I feel very alone. It's not right to feel alone. I'm a Christian. I should never feel alone. But my confession to you is that I do sometimes. Because things just are too hard to figure out. There's too much that doesn't make sense to me, that I can't deal with. So I feel alone. But God is always with me. And he always is saying my name. He's always saying your name too. We need to hear it. And when we do, we know that he's going to make everything right. Not the way we want it to be, but the way it has to be, the way it should be, the right way. That's what I make out of this gospel. Number one, there's great confusion that the Lord will help us with. And number two, the Lord gives us grace, and he always gives us enough grace to be able to do more. And to be able to go to do more difficult things and more confusing things and more hurtful things, and to come out of those things with more grace and more strength.
and he'll always be calling our name. Don't ever forget that. I really believe that when people leave the faith, whether they leave it officially by saying, I'm no longer a believer, whether they go to another church, whether they stop going to church at all, or whether they just kind of leave it by really no longer living it, it's because they don't hear the Lord saying their name anymore. He's saying your name. Don't ever forget that. He's saying your name all the time, just like he said to Mary. And he will make things well. Let's believe that. And if you can't completely believe that, then just believe it partially, but don't hold on. Don't let go. Don't let go. The Lord will make everything right. That's what this gospel tells me. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.